Welcome to the Anchored Podcast with Pastor Reginald Wayne Sharp Jr. I am so excited that you've tuned in, and it is my prayer that these messages will always help you to remain anchored, regardless of what storm or what season you're navigating. I pray that God would speak to your heart today and that you will never, ever, ever be the same again. Stay connected to Fellowship Chicago. This is Pastor Reginald Wayne Sharp Jr. I pray you stay anchored. Peace, peace.
I want you to join me. I'm beginning a new series for the next 2 months called Sermons on Sight, where you all last month had an opportunity to submit topics that you wanted me to cover. I have 65 submissions, and I have been vacillating and ruminating over these 65 submissions. And the Lord has led me to cluster some of them together because some of them hit on the same topic. And so today, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I am addressing some topics that people have asked for their pastor to focus on. And so I invite you to pray with me as I follow the Lord in talking about some real things that people are literally going through in our pews. Amen. I want you to come with me to Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 5. Come back with me to Luke chapter 24. For those of us who might have grown up in Lutheran or Methodist or Episcopalian traditions, you understand that in this season of the liturgical calendar, that word liturgical just means things pertaining to the church. This season of liturgical calendar is called Eastertide. Let the church say Eastertide. Eastertide are pretty much 3 or 4 Sundays after resurrection, because the Church of Jesus Christ should not just celebrate resurrection one day. As often as we come together, we have a reason, we have a right to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. While we are moving into the sermon, I just want to make mention to keep these people's names in your prayers. Mrs. Vanessa Rogers, in the passing of Mrs. Beatrice Keys, Mrs. Doretha Sutton Singletary, in the passing of her husband, and the funeral will be here on Saturday the 13th at 10. Mrs. Vanessa, Deacon Tony Rogers' wife, who lost Mrs. Beatrice Keys. It does not tell me who Miss Beatrice was to Miss Vanessa. Does anybody know? It's her aunt. Amen. Well, the service will be here Friday the 12th at 10 a.m. Miss Gail Price and her family in the passing of her son, Mr. James Turner. The funeral will be here Wednesday at 10. Mr. Marlon Price in the passing of his sister, Miss Andrea Price. Mrs. Pamela Yarborough in the passing of her husband, Mr. Chester Yarborough. And Lord have mercy. And Mr. Marcus Gatlin and Jermail McMurray Sr. in the passing of their grandmother, Miss Louise Gatlin. You see, people need our prayers, don't they? And for all other announcements, we want to encourage you to keep paying attention to FNN so we don't have to repeat ourselves during worship. Amen? We're praying for all of you going through grief, and I pray that this message will help somebody today. If it doesn't help you in my study, it has already helped me. And so I am going to be blessed, and I pray that you will be too. Luke 24, verse 1 through 5 reads like this out of the New Revised Standard Version. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, what happened? They did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two angels, two men in dazzling clothes, stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the angels of the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." Thank you. You may be seated. Let me set it up and then I'll tell you my title. These are 4 topics that members of Fellowship Virtuoship submitted a couple of weeks ago. And let me just read them to you. Pastor, could you talk about a troubled mind? While trying to continue to trust God, people and situations get the best of me, but I trust God to help me to stay encouraged that He is working it out. this person wanted me to talk about a troubled mind. Somebody else said, can you talk about toxic relationships? Knowing when enough is enough. Somebody else wrote, relationships and breakups can be difficult to recover from. And the last one that I'm clustering together says, how to get through an unhealthy relationship. All of these deal with relationships. All of these come around the theme of breakups and recovery and heartbreak and what happens when enough is enough and it's over, but it's hard to move on. Well, I want to talk today from this text, a topic entitled Embracing Emptiness. Embracing Emptiness. And I almost want to dance with you this morning. I don't have a perfectly pristine sermon put together. I just have some thoughts that I want to just dance. Can we just dance this morning? I want to dance with this text, and I want to dance with you, and I want us to have some dexterity and flexibility as we work through this together, because I'm intrigued by the idea that on resurrection morning, these women went to an empty tomb, and sometimes you're going to find yourself looking for things in places that are empty. You're going to find yourself searching for things from people who are empty. And what happens when you go to a place looking for it to have what you were looking for, trying to meet the needs of what you're searching for, and the person or the place that you keep going to keeps showing up empty? It's a hard thing to be full and in love with an empty human. It's hard. It's hard to fight with emptiness. And you want the person to be better, but they just don't have anything to give. You wanted that place to be the place that you could settle in and relax and take your hat off and call it home for a season. You wanted that job to work. You wanted that relationship to work. You wanted that marriage to work. You wanted that familial, that family dynamic in the relationship to be healthy. But every time you walk up to it, it's like a tomb. It's nothing in there. It's just nothing in there. And the worst frustration as a human being, one of the worst things a human being can ever experience, is for you to keep showing up to the same place or the same person, expecting them to one day be able to give you something back that you give them, and all you find is emptiness. Am I talking to some real people? And then it does make you wonder, how long do I hold on to this when it's not giving me anything? When it's, as the millennials and as Gen Z may say, it's not giving what it's supposed to give. When the math ain't mathing. What happens when it just ain't, it ain't flowing with you? It's not growing, it's not flowing, and you find yourself more depleted because you showed up to it full, but now you keep trying to fill somebody else up who should have made sure they were full on their own. But because they're empty, now they're draining you. So now you end up empty trying to keep everybody else's cup full. And while every car has a reserve tank, the reserve tank can't carry you but so far. At some point, you need a gas station. At some point, you got to refill and refuel because you can't pour from an empty cup. And I want you to sit with this for a minute, as I had to sit with it, because this quote blessed me, and I want you to ruminate on this. Think on this. It says, emptiness is not really empty. Emptiness is full of everything. The everything just hasn't manifested yet. So instead of me getting to the empty place, the empty season, the empty part, the empty person, and becoming frustrated, I've got to lean into the emptiness and realize that while it looks empty, it's full of lessons. It's loud and it's talking and it's full of everything that I need. But sometimes I view the emptiness as empty when really it's fullness trying to reveal something to me. Am I too close up on you? So you just listen to a bassoon player play Great Is Thy Faithfulness, and I know she's gifted of God, because the breath that you need to blow into a bassoon to sustain the kind of notes that Sister Girl was sustaining lets me know that she is the real deal. And And so, but what makes music is inside that instrument is empty. That instrument is nothing but wood, holes, and emptiness. But what allows a musical melody to float through it and flow through it is the spaces that are not occupied. God is trying to talk to some of us in the places that you think are full of holes and are empty. And God is trying to let some new musical melodies flow through you, but you fighting the emptiness thinking somebody, something or somebody always needs to be there. Ooh, Sharp, you just walked up to me. Because some of us would have more music in our lives if we just let some stuff stay empty. Ain't nothing wrong with you being single, baby. Ain't nothing wrong with you having a season where somebody said, can I take you out on a date? No, in this season, I'm dating me. Until I heal, until I come back, until I recognize myself again, I don't need to invite you into my intimate spaces, because right now God is trying to speak to me through my emptiness. Because if I am longing for something other than God, I have created an idol out of something. And sometimes our weed, our sex, our coping mechanisms, our drugs, our drinking, our connections, our friendships are really idolatrous, because we're using things and people to replace things only God can fill. Preach, Sharp, I'm trying. Tell your neighbor, it's empty for a reason. And sometimes, just like the cup you see on the screen, another quote says, the usefulness of an empty cup is its emptiness. What makes it useful is that it is empty. And sometimes we're trying to fill up places and do things that make us feel better. And the truth is, you just got to walk up to the tomb like Mary, the mother of James and Joanna and Mary Magdalene, and realize what I thought was here is no longer here. And this emptiness I feel is not empty, it's full of God trying to tell me something. If I was a note taker, I'd write that down. The emptiness is never empty. It is full of God trying to reveal something to me. As we dance, let's look through this text, because there's just a couple of things I want to drop on you, and I'm not even going to preach hard unless the Holy Ghost grabs me. But number one, here it is. You know what robe I'm wearing today. This is, you know, this is, I have no control over what happens in church when I put Reverend Evans' robe on. I have no control. Number one, here it is. If we're going to embrace emptiness, sometimes you got to realize this. Sometimes we hold on to empty places and people because of what it used to hold for us. So if you tiptoe through the text, Luke 23, go back. We went to Luke 24, but go back to Luke 23. It says in verse 55 and 56 something very interesting. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed him. Now, this is after Jesus is dead and they're about to bury him. They followed him and they saw the tomb and how his body was what? Laid. Then they returned and said, we got to prepare some spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, verse 1 of chapter 24, at early dawn, they came to the what? Tomb. Why did they come back to the tomb? Because on Friday evening before Sabbath, they saw him laid there. This ain't deep, it's direct. Some of you keep showing up to empty places because you remember what it used to hold. You remember what it used to provide. You remember what it used to do. And some of us are still stuck in what things used to be. But you cannot keep living in your present based off of what used to be in your past. They used to respect you. They used to reciprocate energy. They used to appreciate your presence. But when you realize that the love ain't loving, the respect ain't respecting, the reciprocity ain't reciprocating, then I've got to accept the fact that what I'm looking for no longer exists here. So instead of me trying to hold on to what used to be here and who used to be here, I got to accept I cannot keep showing up to the tomb expecting something to be there when it's called not to be there. It's not supposed to be there. Am I making sense? Oh, if you let me this morning, I'm about to set some of y'all free. Some of y'all have been on the verge of a breakup and you're in a breakup, but you're still trying to hold on through the breakup. But when after this sermon, if you really let the Holy Ghost minister to you, everybody going to be deleting and blocking and things when this thing is over. Tell somebody, it used to have it, but it don't have it no more. It don't have it no more. It ain't there. All right, here's another thought to consider. I'm telling you, nothing deep. Number two, sometimes things are empty because it's already served its purpose. Don't get it twisted. The tomb was borrowed for Jesus' body. Jesus did stay. Any black preacher you've ever heard five times has told you on Friday he died. Then they're going to ask you a rhetorical question. Didn't he die? Then they're going to tell you everything that happened when he died. He died until the earth reeled in rock. Died until the moon dripped in blood. Died until the S-U-N stepped behind the dark clouds of a midday sky. Because what? Two suns can't shine at the same time. Y'all didn't grow up around black people? He died. Until the centurion soldier looked up and said, surely, oh, okay, somebody grew up on the south side. Surely this must be the Son of God. They took him off the cross and put him in where? Joseph's new tomb. If it was a real good preacher, he'd tell you why it was a new tomb. Why was it borrowed? Because they only needed it for the weekend. The tomb they went to on Sunday was supposed to be empty because it had already served its purpose. Jesus said, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be handed over into the hands of sinful men. I'm going to be crucified. And on the third day, I'm going to rise. If they had gotten to the tomb and the body was still there, it would have meant Jesus was a liar. So I'm glad when they got there, it was empty because it's proof that it's already served its purpose. Some of you are mad right now because what it used to be is not what it is now. Can you at least thank God the season may be over, but the season was necessary because it served its purpose. I'm a better woman because of that mess. I'm a more mature man because of those hard lessons. I made some mistakes. I ain't gonna blame it all on the other person. Some of that was me because I was immature, unhealed, and wouldn't go to therapy. Y'all can sit there and look at me like I ain't talking. Can you thank God for the seasons that have passed because they probably taught you something? They taught you not to put all your trust in people. They taught you how to pray. They taught you how to look within and have moments of retrospection and introspection so you could grow up and be better. Why is the church so quiet? Y'all can't be honest and thank God that it, although it's over, it wasn't that it was all bad. People that go through breakups and get to the end and then don't have nothing good to say about the person irritate me. You mean tell me y'all been together umpteen years? And at the beginning, oh my God, 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 my man, my man, my man. Man, bro, she thick as grits, cuz, like, bro, man. Bro. Now, she the one, bro. She the one, bro. And then that thing flipped. Bro. Told her, start calling me, cuz. I told her, start calling me. You ain't got nothing good to say? Can somebody be mature enough and thank God it wasn't all good, but it wasn't all bad either? Because somewhere I read, all things work together. You needed that knucklehead so you would appreciate a good one. You needed her to be narcissistic, egomaniacal, and selfish so you stop dating shallow women just because she looked good on the outside. You learn to look for something a little deeper. I know you fine. I know your hair pressed. I know your nails done. But let's go deeper. How your taxes? How do you work?
I see you posting on Instagram all the time. I'm not trying to marry a content creator. I need some content creating. I don't need a show. I don't need a look. I need substance. But if you had never had shallow dating, you would. You don't appreciate an ocean till you've been with a puddle. And now you go swim every time you get a chance. But it served its purpose. So be graceful even in your exit. Leave well, because you reap what you sow. And just because it was bad, everybody don't have to know how bad it was. That's you. That was your good when it was good. Now let it be your bad when it's bad. Go talk to your therapist and get off Facebook and get off Twitter trying to subtweet about people. You know what I'm saying? You're going to go through a divorce. Now you're going to write a tell-all. Sit down. You've been the side piece for 5 years. Now you frustrated. Now you're going to tell it all. Sit down. It served its purpose. You ain't been baking and you ain't been... Oh, Jesus, help me. You were never the sausage or the bacon. You were eggs and grits. And it served. Now even you know what to look for. It's tight, but it's right. Don't look at me like this 8 in the morning. It's too early to be fake now. Where my real church that know the pastor? He talking right this morning. Embrace the emptiness you now feel, knowing it did serve its purpose. Embrace the emptiness you now feel, knowing that it may not hold what it used to hold. Here's another one. Sometimes when things are empty, we must emotionally analyze how we feel. It's okay to be emotional. It's okay to analyze it. Look at verse 4. When they got there and realized the stone was rolled away and they went in and nothing was there. Verse 4 says, they were perplexed. I love this. And it took angels to come explain it to them. You know you jacked up when God has to have a conversation in glory and say, now, angels, go down there and get her, because she's standing, it's 2 in the morning. And she about to grab a pre-roll. Now, she done been out 3-4 times this week. And she done ordered something to drink every time. And she's perplexed. He's hurting right now because, you know, brother's hurting silence. And so instead of us really healing, we just go get something else. And then we end up damaging the next person because we never healed from the old person. And sometimes it's okay to have a season. I'm not trying to be insensitive here because this is real life for some people. There are people that will be divorced. There are people that will go through breakups. There are people that will have dysfunctional family relationships. There are people that will not get along with their parents. Every mama ain't Claire Huxtable. And every daddy is not Papa's a Rolling Stone. There's some good fathers and there's some terrible mamas. And vice versa. I'm talking about dynamics when you keep showing up looking for something. Some of you right now are grown and you still mad at who you wanted your mama to be. She dead. She's passed. She's 80. She's 90 now and you still resent who you wanted your parents to be. And you got to take time and do exactly what they did. When they realize the stone is gone, what? OMG. What's this? What's up? How sway? What's going on? Be perplexed. Wrestle with your emotions. Because I promise you, if you make space to wrestle with it now, your healing will be deeper later. If you try to, amen, somebody. If you try to just sweep through, act like it never affected you. Hey, oh, I'm fine. Oh, I know. I'm all right. I know. My mama, my grandmama, my great-grandmama, and my great-great-grandmama, everybody crazy, but I'm all right. Oh, yeah, I was married 20 years. You just want to just wipe it away. No. Go within and say, now, why did that hurt me? And analyze your emotions. Dissect it. Sit with it. Because I promise you, in those moments, watch the text, angels will come. Angels are just messengers. A message will come that'll help you make it make sense. And the message may come in the word. It may come in a song. It may come in a person. I said, angels are coming and sending a message. I said, wait a minute, Lord, are you trying to talk to me? Was it rolled up the whole time? Since I've been preaching. Now give me a minute to emotionally analyze. Now deacons, y'all sat right there and saw. Y'all saw my pants up. It didn't matter. It served its purpose. Sit with yourself. Ask yourself. I'm trying to help somebody. Because let me tell you something. If you ain't never been through a breakup, you don't know what pain is. I saw a video of an old man last night. His nephew asked him, have you ever been in love and had your heart broke? He said, man, I did everything but died. Have you ever been there before? I'm not just talking about marriage and dating. So only 20 of us been there before? Anybody ever been hurt by somebody where you looked for something to be provided and they could not help you? Just didn't happen anymore. And it was hard. Don't rush that season. Sit with it. Talk about it. I recommend therapy. Or I recommend trusted friends. Trust it. And my grandma said, you ain't never in your whole life. You may have two or three of them. All my friends, somebody lying somewhere. Don't nobody got that many people that they just trust with everything. You got one or two riders. All right. Am I helping y'all today? All right, here it is. Emotionally prepare. You know, sit with it. But here's the last one. And this is the one that blessed me. And I'm done. Sometimes the emptiness we find in certain places and people come to remind us that we are not empty. You empty. I ain't. That job is now empty and dried up. I'm not. That season is now dry and empty. That doesn't mean I'm empty. Because the first thing you do when you run up on an empty place is you say, now wait, is it me? Did I do something? But the joy of knowing just because you're in an empty place doesn't mean you're an empty person. Just because you're in an empty season doesn't mean you're empty spiritually. Because watch the text. The text says as soon as the angel reminded them of what's going on and how they should be interpreting this, he said, remember what Jesus told you while he was in Galilee, that I'm going to die, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm coming back on the third day. Verse 8 says, and then they remembered his words. Verse 9 says, and then they ran and told the disciples. So I know they're not empty because they still have stories in them. They still have memories in them. They still have a voice they can use in them. They still have lessons in them. They still have wisdom in them. They still have gifts to give in them. They still have love in them. They still have joy in them. They still have dreams in them. You can say amen whenever you get ready. They still have purpose in them. They still have teachings in them. They still have strength in them. They still have praise in them. And if you don't have anything else, you still got God in you, because greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. And if you forget you got God, don't forget you still have power, because the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that's at work with. I cannot talk to y'all on my way to my seat and holler at some Christians that can say, I lost some stuff, but I didn't lose it all. And yes, I have had some empty, broken, fractured relationships, but I don't have to stay broken and fractured and empty for the rest of my life. I still can love again. I still can dream again. I still can date again. I can be healed again. I can try again. I can apply again. I can go to school again. I can love again. I can trust again. I can have new dreams again. Somebody ought to give God praise. Although it's an empty place, you are not an empty person. Everybody standing, thank you for listening to my sermon this morning. Can we give God praise for his word? You're welcome. If it was just me and you, whoever just hollered at. Do you know how real this sermon is? And if you're not there, you ought to praise God. You don't know nothing I just preached about. For those of you that say, I'm not in that season, you ought to thank God for that. Thank God for healthy marriages. Thank God for healthy dating partners. Come on. Thank God for men who are healed. Women who are healed. Family dynamic. Thank God for that. And don't you ever take it for granted. Because somebody on your row, if you keep counting down the line, somebody before you get to the end of that row is going to say, the preacher was in my business today. Because I'm standing at a tomb right now, trying to pour life back into something that ain't even created for life. Why are you looking for the living? I want you to be all right. I want you to know that this too shall pass. And I want you to know that while God does send angels to help us, some of the work you got to do for yourself. Some boundaries you have to set for yourself. Some no's have to be complete sentences. Can we meet up and just talk one more time? No. Because you were empty the last time. And I need you to be healed for somebody else. But you won't have a chance to bring that much death in my life again. Jesus said, I have come that you might have what? Life, and have it more. I want to offer that life to you today, because Jesus says, hey, tombs are never the end of our stories. That's the point of resurrection. The tomb is not the end of the story. And next week, I'm going to tell you the other half of some of the points I didn't give you today, because I got about 8 of them. So next Sunday, you're going to get part 2 of Embracing Emptiness. And I can't get ahead of myself, but I can tell you this. Tombs are never the end of your story. Where people write the period is not necessarily where God writes the period. Smile at somebody beside you, looking right here at me. And looking at them, looking at them, looking at them, looking at them. And you say, hey, friend, it's good to sit by you. I'm glad I'm not by an empty person. Tell them if you need Jesus, if you need a church home, if you need to make some changes, I'll walk with you into your new life, into your abundant life, so you can have eternal life. If this message was for anybody, if anybody needs to say yes to Jesus, if anybody needs to come home to the Lord, if anybody needs a fresh start,
Come on, the doors of the church are open. Don't delay. Come right now. Come right now, my sister. Come right now, my brother. You can start over right now where you are. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I know 36 joined last week at the 7:30 service. I'm just fishing for one today who could walk out and say, Pastor, I need new life. I need Christ. I got to start this thing over right. I've been off. I was focused on stuff that didn't matter. And I want to get my life back on the right track because I'm not empty. My destiny is not empty. Come on. My future is not empty. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, stand right here. Come on, you're not empty. The devil is a liar. You can make it through this. Your story is not over. This too shall pass. And that's the good news today. Come on, if you're here, come on, come on. Come on, 8 o'clock. Let's thank God for these who are coming. You can make it through this. Bless you. You can make it through this. Stay right there. Thank you. You can make it. Yeah. Come on, you can say that with me. You can make it through this. You can make it through this. Come on, my brother. You can make it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Hey. My story ain't over.
Bless you.
My story ain't over.
My story ain't over.
My story.
Come
on, I'm waiting on you. Hey, this too shall pass.
This too shall pass.
This too.
This too shall pass.
It shall pass. It won't last.
You can make it through this.
Come on, tell your neighbor, you can make it. Speak life into your neighbor. Say you can make it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Hey, my story ain't over.
My story ain't over.
I don't care what I'm going through. Story ain't over. Story ain't over. Hey. Anybody know my story?
My story ain't over.
My story.
My story.
My story. My story. I know you heard something about me, but
my story.
That was just a season.
My story.
But
my story.
Story ain't. Story ain't. Hey, this too shall pass. It shall pass. I'm a living witness. This too shall pass. Yeah, yes it will.
This too.
It shall pass. It shall pass. Hey, you can make it through this.
You can make it through this.
You can make it. Hey. We almost going home. God is filling somebody back up. Though we're wasting away on the outside, God renews us on the inside. Never empty, never empty, never empty, never empty, never empty. Hey! Come on, Holy Ghost. I said, God renews us from the inside. You're never empty. I've been through some empty seasons, hung out with some empty people, but you're never empty. Hey, this too shall pass.
This too shall pass.
It shall pass. Come on. This too shall pass.
He brought me a long way. He brought me a long way. He brought me a long way. You don't know my whole story, but he brought me a long way. He brought me a long way. I'm not where I wanna be, but I'm not where I used to be.
Listen, I want to thank God for these who've come. Can we thank God for these two sisters? Wow, that's a mama. Wow, a mama's down here praising God over what the Lord is doing for her daughter. And I don't want this mama to shout by herself. This may not be your daughter, but you ought to thank God he's doing it for our children in this season. Yeah, come on. Come on and just prophesy down your row. Say generational curses. Come on, say generational curses. Generational trauma. I bind it. You better talk like you know Jesus up in this church. Come on, say I bind it up. I uproot it in the name of Jesus. Some of what my mama went through, some of what my daddy went through, stops right here. We ain't gonna live empty forever. No. And we not gonna accept emptiness forever. Let's give God praise for these two. Come on, the Lord is working and moving and healing. Come on, help me thank God for them. Help me thank God for them. Help me thank God for them. Put a praise on that deliverance. Touch three people and say, get away from that empty place. Come on, tell them, get away from that empty place. Let that thing go. Y'all didn't do it. Y'all didn't do it. Y'all didn't do it. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. I said, tell three people, get away from that empty place. I put spiritual authority in you to handle your business this week. Set some new standards. And stop letting people play you like you ain't God's child. In Jesus' name. You better find somebody else to play with. I feel the spirit of Eric Mays. If you want to play with somebody, you better go to Toys R Us. But don't play over here. I'm tired of the devil playing with God's children. And you sit there and take it. Greater is he. Touch yourself, say, I got high standards. I got holy standards. I shall live and not die. I can't accept what's less than what God has for me. Because tombs are not my story. I got to go because I feel oiled now. I'm talking to some people that's been to hell and back. I'm glad you're alive. Because that means that empty place didn't empty you. Hey, I finished that at 10:45. Yes, Lord. Let's stand. I feel some deliverance in this room. I'm serious. You go home and get your stuff in order. I ain't telling you go break up with everybody. I'm saying have some conversations and set some new standards. I'm in the spirit right now. And say, we not tolerating that. No, that was pre-Easter carrying on. But I'm in my resurrection season. And either we gonna rise together. And when you gotta leave, stop worrying about what people got to say to you. Be free from Negroes' opinions. They didn't walk through what you walked through.
They don't know what you didn't tell everybody. Be free. Look down your row. Say, be free, be free, be free. Oh, I'm trying to set somebody free. I feel some chains breaking in the spirit. Some of us would have been free a long time ago, but we worried about what folk gonna say. They don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. I'm telling you. All right, I'm done. Listen, the choir from Mobile is here. Y'all give us one number. Come on, come on. Welcome them, welcome them. These young people. Can you sing it in about 3 minutes? All right, come on, let's stand and support them, and they come a long way.
In the Lord, my soul's been anchored in the anchored in the Lord. In the Lord, my soul's been anchored in the Lord, in the Lord. In the Lord, my soul's been anchored in the Lord. In the Lord, in the Lord, my soul's been anchored in the Lord.
My hope is built on nothing less.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
Than Jesus' love and worship.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
I will not trust the sweet spring.
In the Lord,
but to believe on Jesus' day,
my soul's been anchored in the Lord. In the Lord, in the Lord, my soul's been anchored in the Lord. In the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord, my soul's been anchored in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in Jesus. My soul's been anchored in Jesus.
Ooh, been anchored in Jesus. While the mirror waters roll, while the tearless still is high, hide me, oh my Savior, high, till the storm of life is past. Slip into the hidden guide. Or is he not told
in the Lord, in the Lord, my soul's been anchored in the Lord. In the Lord, in the Lord, my soul's been anchored in the Lord. In the Lord, in the Lord, my soul's been anchored in the Lord. In the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord, my soul's been anchored in the Lord.
Thank God for Rain High School. Excellent. Excellent. And it tied into the service. We're going home knowing our souls have been anchored in the Lord. Have y'all eaten breakfast? Amen. All right. Listen, we're getting ready to leave. I'll see you next Sunday. And bring somebody with you. Amen. Tell them my pastor's over there keeping it all the way 100.
And you need to come hear this message on embracing emptiness. Be still for a moment. Let me just give you the benediction, the final blessing as you put your coat on. Be safe outside today and make it a great week. Make it a great week. May your struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles show that you need God. May your battles end the way they should. And may your bad days prove that God is good. I pray your whole life continues to prove that God is good. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Hug somebody and say, have a great week. Create a great week. Create a great week. Bless you. Hey family, I pray you've been blessed by this message that God gave me. I hope you stay connected to Fellowship Chicago through YouTube, Facebook, or our website. Go to fellowshipchicago.com today and make sure that you stay updated on all of the great things that are happening on the ship. Until we meet again, may you be blessed by the power, the peace, and the provisions of God. Peace, peace.